The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The answer.
9:34. Thanks for being with us this Monday morning on AM 1420. The answer.
We're getting some reductions, but remember there were huge increases under the Democrats. So the reduction is not, frankly, where it needs to be. But you know, look, in divided government, I appreciate the reductions there. I think there was a better strategy if we could have corralled the votes, which again is tough when you only got a one vote majority. I think there was a better way we could have done this, but we appreciate some of the cuts we've got in this legislation. I'm not going to support it. I thought there was much better ways we could have done this strategically and everything else.
Jim Jordan voted against the $1.2 trillion spending bill that passed pretty overwhelmingly. It got a ton of support from most Ohio members of Congress. In particular, several Ohio Republicans, which is very disappointing. We're going to talk to one of those who voted for it, Max Miller, about 30 minutes from now. But joining us to discuss it now is Congressman Jim Jordan, Ohio's 4th Congressional Representative, District Representative, rather, as well as the Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and the Weaponization Subcommittee. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Doing all right. I've been better, though. I feel like this is just, rinse, repeat, when it comes to spending and when it comes to asking our conservative members of Congress, both sides, the House and the Senate, to stand up for us and to stop this nonsense. And it seems like every time, it's repeated. Congressman, I don't know if you actually personally do Facebook or if your team does Facebook for your congressional account, but Facebook has a feature that is called memories, and every day they'll send you a bunch of things that you have posted in the past on that same day. Well, six years ago on Saturday, I had posted on Facebook, the Republican Party is now dead, with a picture of a white flag of surrender there. And it was over this same exact thing. So 6 years to the day later, I'm reminded, we've been doing this year after year after year after year, and it never changes, Congressman. So you ask me how I am, that makes me very frustrated. How about you?
No, I get the frustration. And look, I will say this. It is tough when you got such a tight margin, the majority is so small, and you're in divided government. The Democrats control the White House and the Senate. So I understand the difficult situation Speaker Johnson is in. But as I said in that clip you played, I thought there were some strategic decisions we could have made, tactical moves that they made over the last several months that would have put us in a much better position. And it seemed like we just didn't do those. Now, when you look at the bill itself, my biggest, and there's this stuff in there about this woke stuff and this DEI and all that garbage. But what really bothers me the most, Bob, is the $200 million additional dollars for a new FBI headquarters. Because this is something that, I said we wouldn't do this. Speaker McCarthy said we would not do this. And then unfortunately it's in the legislation, and it's like the country, this is the same FBI that spied on President Trump's campaign. This is the same FBI that raided his home. This is the same FBI that said parents needed to be investigated who attend school board meetings. This is the same FBI who said pro-life Catholics were extremists. And this is the same FBI who retaliated against whistleblowers who came forward and told us about those things I just said. So to me, that was just so, such a concern and so frustrating. But again, as I said, I know Mike's in a tough position. God bless him. It's not easy. But I felt like there were some things we should have done different along the way that would have better positioned us to get something better on the final product. And we failed to make those moves. And I think we're all to blame for that, the whole conference. So anyway, that's
where it went. Well, I certainly understand that, and I agree with that. I'll ask you another question about the spending in a moment. But just since you brought up Speaker Johnson, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what gain there was for the Republican Party and for your Republican constituents and for the American people to run Kevin McCarthy off and to put Speaker Johnson in there the way it was done. Because Kevin McCarthy was run largely because of refusing to battle and fight the Democrats on spending issues, whether it be on agreeing to continuing resolution after continuing resolution, or what have you. It just, this was the straw that broke Matt Gaetz's back. And, well, here comes Mike Johnson. And I know he's a friend of yours, and I know you're a supporter of his, and I am largely too. But do you see anything being fought any differently under Speaker Johnson than it was under Speaker McCarthy?
Well, I will say this: I was against getting rid of Speaker McCarthy.
I know you were.
Kevin had done a darn good job in a difficult situation, and Kevin and I were able to work together. Other conservatives like Congressman Davis and Congressman Massey appreciated the way Speaker McCarthy was operating in this difficult environment. So we should not have made that change. And I spoke out against the individuals who pushed to and ultimately were successful in getting rid of Kevin. I said we shouldn't have done it. But again, we are where we are. It's unfortunate. But right now, I think the key is we got to focus on making sure we do everything we can so that President Trump wins this election and he's our next president. Because the biggest problem in our country right now is the weakness from the Oval Office in Joe Biden and the crazy policies that the left, which now controls the Democrat Party, the crazy policies Joe Biden is putting into play. So that, to me, is the primary focus. Let's win the White House. I think we're going to win the Senate. We're going to win the state of West Virginia. I think Bernie Moreno is going to beat Sherrod Brown in our great state. And then we just got to focus on keeping the House as well. But that to me, is in the next 7 months, the most important thing is that we do everything we can to make sure President Trump's our next president.
Last question about the spending bill. Did we do anything at all to secure the border in this bill?
Not really, and that's a frustration too. You know, there's money for other countries' borders. There's money in there for things that don't make a whole lot of sense to me, but the number one priority, not just, you know, Bob France and Jim Jordan talking about it, the number one priority for the American people, for we the people, is to secure our border. Part of what defines you in the country is you actually have a border. So this is frustrating as well. And I tell you what I thought we should have done, Bob. I thought there was a way we could have went on offense last week. And I spoke at our conference and encouraged people to encourage the leadership to do this. We should have put on the floor a bill to fund Israel, a clean Israel funding bill, just Israel, not Ukraine, nothing else, just Israel, in light of what Chuck Schumer said 2 weeks ago about Prime Minister Netanyahu, and in light of what President Biden said at the State of the Union. Think about that. All the ridiculous things he said, but one of the most ridiculous was when he said, we're going to build a temporary pier, a temporary port in Gaza to help to give supplies to Israel's enemies. Like, war 101 is, if you want one side to win, you don't give supplies to the other side. I mean, this is crazy. So in light of all that, we should have put that clean bill on the floor and sent it over to Schumer and say, now what are you going to do about it? Chuck Schumer, who represents the great state of New York, and all, what are you going to do about it? That would have been the smart play in my mind, because then you can – then when that's over there, I think that gives you some leverage to get a better deal on the spending, because suddenly they're back on their heels saying, oh, what are we going to do with this bill with all the crazy left and the crazy things they're saying in their party? That, to me, would have been the smart thing to do last week. Unfortunately, we didn't do it.
We're talking to Congressman Jim Jordan this morning, as we do each and every Monday on AM 1420, The Answer. Let's go back to last week's testimony in the Oversight Committee from Tony Bobulinski and others who are in the Hunter Biden sphere, all announcing and declaring and testifying under oath very directly and clearly that, yes, Joe Biden's influence was being sold by Hunter Biden, all for the enrichment of the Biden family and some of their tangential supporters. It was embarrassing, obviously, parts of that were, especially with AOC not having any idea what RICO is and the fact that this is a series of crimes. But can you give us your opinion, first of all, of how that went? In other words, what was accomplished from all of that testimony, and what is the next step, sir?
I think the country got to see, and I thought Mr. Bobulinski did a great job, as well as Mr. Galanis. I think the country got to see how this, what I call the money, the business, the brand, you know, the millions of dollars flowing from foreign entities through 20 different companies through all the Biden for what? What were they offering? What were they selling? And Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's business partner, told us last summer in his deposition under oath that they were selling access to the brand, and the brand was Joe Biden. And they used different terms. They talked about the Biden lift. When Biden would call, or he'd show up at a meeting or drop by a lunch, or drop by a dinner, that lift got them business with these foreign entities who were all kind of shady, shaky people. So that I think came through loud and clear. And then this motto that they lived by, which was, you know, say it, forget it, write it, regret it. So they kept it from, they tried to as much as possible keep anything out of, you know, putting anything in writing so that there was no trail that linked anything to Joe Biden. But you have this testimony from, again, Mr. Bobulinski, Mr. Galanis, that I think showed the American people what was really going on.
A follow-up to that is a letter that you wrote. I learned of this on Friday that you and Chairman Comer wrote to the CIA. What happened? There's a whistleblower, a new whistleblower, that said the CIA, intervened and stopped the IRS from interviewing a Hunter Biden associate. Is this all related to the same stuff we were talking about on the testimony last week?
We don't know, but we think so. And what we do know is the whistleblowers come forward and said investigators were prevented by the CIA from actually interviewing and talking to Kevin Morris. Now, this Kevin Morris is the guy who's given Hunter Biden, loaned him millions of dollars, bought like $875,000 of artwork, Hunter Biden's artwork. So this guy's an interesting dude. He's the guy who showed up when Hunter Biden did his stunt with the press conference when he wouldn't come testify. He's the guy who then walked into the oversight hearing and sat down with Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's counsel, Abby Lowell. So we'd like to know what was going on here, because remember, this is the same CIA that was part of the 51 former intel officials and all this effort that kept key information from the American people in the run-up to the 2020 election. So we just want to know. We sent the letter to the CIA. We've talked before. There's this sort of this process you go through. First you write the letter, get something back, then the second letter. At some point, then you start to press, and then you send a subpoena for documents, and that's the process we got started, because we'd like to know what's going on here.
Congressman Jordan, I don't typically watch 60 Minutes, but first of all, it was on after the NCAA games yesterday, and second of all, I found out that Jim Jordan was going to be on it, so of course it did pique my interest. The left is having a field day this morning with this. Jim Jordan flustered by question from Leslie Stahl. Jim Jordan stunned by Leslie Stahl's question about the 2020 election. First of all, the piece was supposed to be on the federal government colluding, collaborating with, or maybe even enforcing its own will on the big tech companies when it comes to free speech online and censoring conservative points of view and so forth, which of course is a huge, huge issue. The First Amendment is first for a reason. It's a huge issue. But they use that to then try to corner you into saying that no one should be allowed to claim the 2020 election was stolen online. If somebody says that, it needs to be spiked because it's misinformation.
Yeah,
and then they try to corner
you
on that. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of 60 Minutes either. Particularly, I'm not a fan of any time they tape you, because they always try to like finagle with the tape, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
But we ended up doing this because of the censorship issue, and of course they air it the week after the big case in front of the Supreme Court on censorship. I think the key takeaway is that the left is getting frustrated, because I think we're making a difference in stopping this big tech, big media, big government merger and collusion to censor Americans. I always remember when I was a kid, I hated 60 Minutes because that meant football was over and it was time to go back to school the next day. And so I always hated the show, but, you know, a lot of people, I guess, still watch it. So we wound up taping that show. I've not looked at the clip, so that's typical. I typically don't look at these left-wing shows do these kind of things. So I have not looked at the clip. I don't even know what. And I didn't know that anyone said anything about that this morning. So.
Yeah, well, in fact, I'll play just a short portion of it here, too, because I want people to hear, because I think this is extraordinarily important, too, when they really want to silence the American people. And it's weird. They only want to silence the American people who question whether or not the 2020 election was stolen, even though they have been complaining about the 2000 election, the 2004 election, the 2016
and
election.
The 16.
Yes,
yeah.
Ever
well,
since then. But
it was stolen, for goodness sake. Yeah.
This is the part they aired, and if you can react to it.
People. Respect the American people, their common sense, to figure out what's accurate, what isn't.
Well, what about this idea that the 2020 election was stolen? You think that these companies should allow people to say that, and individuals can make up their own mind, and that there should be...
I think the American people are smart. Look, I've not said that. What I've said is there were concerns about the 2020 election. I think Americans agree with that.
No, they don't.
You don't think they think there were concerns with the 2020 election?
Most people don't question the result. That's all I'm saying.
We can stop that right there just because of the...
I'm incredulous.
First of all, she actually said the words. Do you really think that people should be allowed to say that? What country is this?
Yeah.
I mean, people can say whatever they want. They can disagree whether or not they think that the that the electors were valid or not in places like Pennsylvania. I mean, there are all kinds of questions here. And she said, you think people should be allowed to say that?
Well, so what are people saying, Bob? I'm here in Florida. I'm getting ready to fly back to Ohio. Are people saying, like, oh, Jim Jordan's clip, he thinks there's concerns about the 2020 election? Is that what they're saying? Like,
well, here's the rest of that clip, and because this is what they're really focusing on. Here's the rest of that.
They don't question whether Biden won or not. Right? Right. Most people don't question the outcome.
Right.
So they're saying that she got you to admit that most people don't question the outcome because you said, oh, okay, right, at the end of that. So they're basically saying that she flustered you and got you to admit that you do not think that the election was stolen either because you just said were questions.
Didn't I say right before that I think there are all kinds of concerns with the 2020 election? That's what I've always said. the games they play, like for me, it's like there are concerns with this election. That's why we should have had a real investigation, which we didn't. That to me is the problem.
Yeah, and I agree. But I mean, you know, like I said, and now again, we're talking about Newsweek here, and we're talking about more left wing, news sites like Huffington Post and so forth. They're all claiming that you got trapped by Leslie Stahl into admitting that there was no election interference. I'm sorry, that there was election was not stolen, and that
that
the people who think that it was should not be allowed to say so publicly, which in fact, I'll wrap our conversation with this, Congressman, because they're right. You know, these are buttressed up against one another here. The comment made last week by Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson that she's concerned that the First Amendment is sometimes hamstringing the government. Isn't that kind of the goal of the First Amendment, to hamstring the government, to make sure that the people are free?
It's totally the goal. Like, you got to be kidding me. And I think we talked last week when she said that, I almost like forgot I was in a place where you're not allowed to speak out. And I almost stood up and said, that's the point. Like, because it was so ridiculous. I was sitting with a colleague. And I was sitting with Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana. And it was kind of, they were like looking at me like, what did she say? So that's how crazy it is.
It is that. Congressman, I know you've got a flight to catch. I hope that screaming toddler in the background is not on your flight for your sake. Good luck to you for that. But thank you, Congressman. I appreciate you coming on. All right.
Thanks,
there you go. That's Congressman Jim Jordan. That part of this conversation astounds me. I'm talking about Jordan's conversation with Leslie Stahl. This is what the left thinks, whether they be 60 Minutes news anchors or sitting United States Associate Justices of the Supreme Court, that they honestly do not believe in nor support the First Amendment to the Constitution. They think your speech should be limited if they don't agree with it. Ketanji Brown Jackson said that she has real concerns with the First Amendment hamstringing the government. And then Leslie Stahl, in the conversation with Jim Jordan about federal government intrusion, if not, you know, like I said, collusion with big tech companies, suppressing and silencing views with which they disagree, suppressing or silencing things that they don't want to have, questions that they don't want to have asked, and answers that they don't want given. Censor the people, silence them if they say things that we don't agree with. This is what's really the most troubling about the American left. And again, whether they're news anchors, local politicians, congressmen, presidents, they Supreme Court justices, they do not believe in the First Amendment.
Congressman Jordan argues that the tech companies shouldn't remove most of what they call misinformation.
I think you let the American people respect the American people, their common sense, to figure out what's accurate, what isn't.
Well, what about this idea that the 2020 election was stolen? You think that these companies should allow people to say that?
Did you hear that? She said it on camera, knowing it was being recorded out loud. Now, what about this stuff that the people who think that the election was stolen, do you think these companies should allow people to say that? Holy hell! When did we enter Red Square? I'm looking around to see if I can see the actual Kremlin right now. What country does she think she's talking about? Do you think the people should be allowed to say that? That the election was stolen? Let me ask you, Les, how many pieces did you and your team at 60 Minutes do in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, all the way up until the next election in 2004 with the Democrats who said that the 2000 election was stolen? That it was stolen, that they gifted the state of Florida to George Bush, that the Supreme Court stole the election. And really, Al Gore should have won Florida. And the whole course of history would be changed. How many pieces did you do saying the American people should not be saying such things? What are we going to do to silence the American people as they say that the election was stolen? And then they did it again in 2004 anyway, when Bush narrowly beat John Kerry. Needed the state of Ohio, by the way, crucial. They did it then, too. And then, of course, 2016, the most egregious example. Hell, we're 3 years plus into Joe Biden's term, and they're still saying that Trump legitimately didn't win in 2016. That Russia invaded and colluded with the election. That they interfered and colluded with the Trump campaign to steal the election. They're still saying it. Can somebody find for me an episode of 60 Minutes since 2016 in which they have done a piece in which they call for people to stop saying that the 2016 Trump victory over Hillary Clinton was tainted? Stop saying that it was stolen. Stop saying that it was not legitimate or on the up and up. Can somebody find that for me? I haven't seen that anywhere. But now that people are saying that Joe Biden won a disputed election in which many, many people think it absolutely was stolen for a variety of reasons, we won't go through them all. They've been litigated now over and over and over again. We know what states we're talking about. We know about 2,000 mules. We know about voting machines. We know about ballot harvesting. We know about mail-in ballots. We know about all of it. We know about overnight counting. We know about all of it. And she's saying we can't even bring it up. Are you really saying that these companies should allow people to say this out loud, to say this stuff freely?
Idea that the 2020 election was stolen. You think that these companies should allow people to say that, and individuals can make up their own mind, and that there should be...
I think the American people are smart. Look, I've not said that. What I've said is there were concerns about the 2020 election. I think Americans agree with that.
No, they don't.
And then there's that one. No, they don't. No, they don't. The American people don't agree that there were some questions about the election. Really? You don't even have to be a blind left-wing radical Marxist partisan like Leslie Stahl and her minions at CBS to know that, yes, click an internet browser anywhere and type in 2020 election and you're going to see what? You're going to see all kinds of disputes. Some people will say it was absolutely a perfect election. And others are going to say, are you kidding me? It was outright theft. And others in between saying, well, we have questions about this one, this one, this one, and this one. She said, no, they don't. American people aren't questioning that. What are you talking about? No, they don't. This is theater of the absurd. All right, 9:57, timeout. On the other side, Congressman Max Miller will join us. Max Miller, Ohio 7, voted for the $1.2 trillion spending bill, joining the likes of Marcy Kaptur, Amelia Sykes, Chantel Brown, and a whole bunch of other left-wing Ohio representatives in Congress, and a few rhinos like Dave Joyce as well. Max Miller sided with them. I've got questions. I know you do, too. He will join us next to answer those on Always Right Radio, AM 14.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.